Hi, my name is Paul W. Downs, and I feel thrilled about being Conan O'Brien's friend.
That's very nice.
It's true. It's thrilling.
Fall is here. Hear the yell. Back to school. Ring the bell. Brand new shoes. Walking blues. Climb the fence. Books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hey there. Welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. I'm Conan O'Brien, joined here by the chuckling Matt Gourley, Sonam Avsesian. How are you, Sona?
I'm all right.
You what?
I'm all right.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I said that. I mumbled.
I think you said,
I'm all right.
Am I right?
Am I right?
And then I did a weak-ass thumbs up.
It's also weird how you kind of like turned it towards yourself.
I don't like it.
Everything you did just now was just wrong.
Are you an AI?
Yeah, I think you are AI.
Every time you're like, welcome, hey, Sona, it makes me so uncomfortable.
You know, people,
and we've
weird,
talked about it before.
People get very scared about AI. I have been working very hard to have AI replace you, Sona. And I have thousands of servers trying to learn Sona's rhythms.
Impossible.
They've all exploded. Yeah. They've exploded, and they're in these salt mines. I keep them in salt mines deep under the ground in Utah. And I've spent most of the money I've made in show business on all these servers.
Oh, thank you.
They overheat and explode because they cannot match the Movsesian rhythms. They don't make sense. AI can't figure out.
She just moves at a different speed.
Who's she?
Me.
Oh, you're talking about yourself?
Yeah.
What are you, Tyler, the Creator?
Oh, God. Oh. Can I just say, if an AI came in and just said nothing that made sense, I'd be like, that's a great AI of Conan.
I know. Yeah, there's plenty of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean, plenty of those? What do you mean?
AIs that don't make any sense.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying.
It's getting so good, though. I have
not
friends.
The guys I'm talking to.
What?
These AIs?
Oh, do you have a relationship with an AI?
I do. My wife is an AI.
Do you? She's a beautiful AI.
Well, yeah. I had to splurge in one player and then scrimp in another.
I don't know.
I did have a conversation with a Shakespeare AI once. Like, you could go to this website. Okay.
Matt.
Hold on. Don't make fun of me.
No. Let's hear him out.
Thank you.
We need some content for the top
curious,
of the show.
Okay.
So far, we haven't really hit a gusher. So let's hope this is it.
Unless you think I'm some kind of nerd, I only asked him about James Bond.
So you talk to an AI Shakespeare. So you have a lot of free time. That's what I'm getting.
From this story. I'm busy talking to Shakespeare on AI.
How did you find that? Someone send it to you and was like, "Oh, you'd love this, Matt."
I don't know. So maybe someone sent it or I heard about it like on a show or something. I don't remember.
I've never done AI.
Early AI days, though.
Oh, okay. Because you wouldn't do that now.
No, I'm too. I was AI before it was cool.
You were doing AI back in the 80s.
Yeah, I was.
When it was basically Pong.
Yeah, war games.
Did you guys hear that? Sorry to bust
in. Anything.
Yeah.
Because there's an old saying here, it doesn't matter what you three talk about, it'll be good. This is proof that it's not.
Well, I'm going to edit all that out. So you go
ahead. Let's start again.
I was just going to say, okay.
Oh, hold on a sec. Hey there. Welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
We're doing a do-over.
Yeah, we're going to do it over again.
Because
you know what?
I don't want to do that
Guess
again.
Guess what? Yeah. That was a terrible top.
No.
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
Guess what?
And go.
No one's limbo bar is lower than yours. You're like, hey, man, it was great. You guys were talking and there was talking.
People love this shit.
No.
And go again.
Go again. Hey there, and welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, and we're going to get a good top out of this show if it's the last thing I do.
Get a good top out of this show?
Yeah.
It's the beginning of the show.
Top of the show, baby!
Okay, I'm starting again, because that was... Your instincts today are awful.
Okay. All right.
And yours are too. Okay. You both suck. Here we go.
You suck. The fish rots from the head, sir.
That's
you suck.
Right. Thank you.
Ouch. Your suckiness
the
is trickling down.
The fish heads rot from the top.
Yeah.
Hey, Conan O'Brien here. Welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. We have tried 7 times to start this podcast, and the assists I'm getting from my fellow players are just terrible. Mm. Instead of passing me the basketball, you guys are tossing it into the stands and then shooting yourselves with a German Luger. Matt, how are you?
I talked to Shakespeare AI the other day.
Okay?
You got to hear me out on this. I'm telling
you. Why are you so determined to ruin the top of the show? This is important to me. I've always wanted a good top of the show.
I'm sorry.
That's ridiculous.
It's been my dream since I was a kid.
Hey, I saw 2 coyotes this morning.
Hey, now we're on to something. What were were they doing?
Wow.
They were crossing the street, and I was terrified seeing them do it. It was very Frogger.
That happens every day.
No, but it was like really heavy traffic, and I was like, they're going to die.
Oh,
and then I was
worried
like,
for them.
Do I want, no, I wasn't, I was rooting for the coyotes. I don't want them to die.
No, that's what I said.
I know
I was,
they'll
you were worried
my,
for them.
But they'll tear
you know
Pokey apart.
Can I just say something, Matt? Everything you've contributed today sucks. You're throwing in. You're not helping. I'm understanding her. And you keep throwing these giant steel anvils into the conversation and clanging away. And now you're giving me a rap like, we got
we're
it.
We're out of time.
No.
We're out of time.
No, we're not out of time. We're going to get something good. So you saw two coyotes, did you?
I did.
Tell me about it.
Now, I'm taking away your speaking privileges for the next year. So, Sona,
yeah,
curious about these coyotes. A lot of people in this world haven't seen a coyote. It's like a dog, only skinnier.
Hey, you know what? It is. It's like a dog, only skinnier. And every time I see him, I'm
you're
like...
You're trading my content for this?
Shut up. I'm on fire right
she's
now.
She's on fire.
Yeah.
She's got a hot hand, and you keep knocking her royal flush out of her hand.
You're off.
And you're playing Hungry, Hungry Hippos in the corner like a drunk idiot. Go ahead, Sona.
Yeah, you're off. I'm on today. Yeah. So the coyote...
Yes, Sona.
So I'm watching them and I'm like, these animals will kill Oki.
Yeah.
Do I
That's
cheer?
Your dog, Oki,
do
yeah.
I cheer for their demise or do I want them to live? And you know what? I want them to live.
Yes, I root for animals to live in the wild. I do. Even if they're coyotes, I root for all animals everywhere. Man, Sona, preach! Preach! You were great today, Sona. That was terrific. We learned about wildlife and about your neighborhood, and you.
I'm so glad I ceded the floor for that. Yeah. That was really top-notch.
Oh, also, I spoke to a Shakespeare AI, and it was
I hate, the opening, and I apologize to everyone.
I'm listening.
Hey, man, let's just start talking, and whatever we say will be great. And Blaine will be like, yeah, man, it was really great.
Look at all the laughs we're having. I rest my case.
We're having a good time.
Yeah.
Do you want to start it again and then rap?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, and welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. I'm Conan. You don't need to know the rest. You're going to love today's show. My guest today is co-creator, showrunner, and writer of an actually good show, the Emmy award-winning series that's thought about beforehand. They don't just throw it out there like a bucket of diarrhea. Hacks. I'm thrilled he's here today because he actually makes something people enjoy that has thought, structure, content. Paul W. Downs, welcome.
You didn't pause.
Oh,
oh my God.
I'm thrilled he's here today. Paul W. Downs, welcome. I am an admirer of your work.
Thank you.
And
likewise.
And of course, I want to shout out your cohorts on Hacks at the very top.
Mm-hmm.
Your lovely wife.
Yes. Lucia.
Lucia. I want to make sure you said it first because I was afraid that I would.
Oh.
I was looking at like Lucia, but I've also heard it pronounced Lucia.
Yep. Lucia. There's a
Lucia.
Lot. It is a tricky one.
Jen Stotsky.
Yes.
And
I thought you were waiting for me to say which of the two I was married to. Because sometimes that is a question.
I thought it might be a throuple.
Hey, you're not alone if you read the tweets. You know, I don't, but I've heard.
I write the tweets.
Okay.
I'm putting it out there that it's a throuple.
Hey, from your
mouth. Because you know what? That gets a lot of heat out there. You just want the clicks.
That's all I want. It's about clicks.
Hacks is a wonderful show.
Thank you.
And I'm always suspicious when a show is going to... And I've run into you a bunch of times, and I remembered saying this to Jean Smart and Hannah. I remember telling them when I've bumped into them that I'm suspicious when a show is going to portray people that are trying to create comedy, think of comedy. Mm-hmm. I think usually it goes wrong because it's difficult. But if there's a movie that's portraying someone sculpting. A sculptor's going to watch it and go, that's not how you do it.
Oh my God.
Well, that's how sculptors talk.
What happened
in
to
Austria.
This sculptor?
This sculptor, by the way, was injured.
Yeah, okay.
I got that far.
Marble fell on him.
A chisel fell from a high height and it hurt his brain.
What happened?
I think he's attempting an accent, but it's more of a like actual
this
disability.
This is an injured
injury.
Guy, and he's, you know, this is not a foreign man. This is a man
who's... Not a foreign man.
No, he was just injured by
a
high-falling chisel. He's from New Jersey.
Yeah, Springsteen.
But a very terrible, terrible injury.
stupid.
So stupid. I apologize. And the point that I'm going to get back to, which began as a compliment and then turned into just a horrible sketch. It's almost impossible to do it. And then you guys come up with hacks, and I see people struggling to create comedy and then perform comedy. And I think, oh, I think that's the closest I've seen to how it really is.
Thank you.
And of course, that comes from you guys being very talented, but also being still quite young and coming from this world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You started out, I mean, as a kid, you were making content all the time, even if it was just for yourself. Right?
It was just for myself. Yeah. There was no social media. There was no YouTube, thank goodness, I think.
You're 77 years old.
That's right. That's right.
That's what it says here.
There wasn't even cellular, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. I had the stick and hoop, and I was making myself, I was entertaining myself with the stick and hoop.
Sometimes you'd play with the butter churn.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But you were making content, and this I can relate to because I don't think I needed an audience. If I was in my room,
right,
I was doing this shit, and you seem like a similar fellow to me.
100%. 100%. Yeah. What an honor for you to say that. But yeah, I would entertain myself in the mirror. I wish my son did that, because now I have a toddler who needs a lot of attention, and I was like, I entertain myself for hours, you know?
Yeah. All you voices, need doing is a mirror and delusion.
Exactly. I still have both.
In equal measure.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your creation story. Mm-hmm. It was interesting to me because the minute I saw you and your work, I thought, well, they're all improvisers. And then I find out that you started doing stand-up initially, or dabbled in stand-up a little bit.
Yes.
And it's interesting because I always knew... I mean, I did early on, I did some emceeing, but I knew I needed a gang. I needed either my gang of writers or I needed my improv gang. I needed some kind of a squad. That I understood early on. When did you figure out that was kind of what you were looking for?
You know, I did sketch in high school. I did sketch and improv in college. And then when I moved to New York, I was like, you know, I want to be an actor. I'm going to just audition for things and I'll do stand up. I'll try my hand at that, because I idolized stand ups and always loved watching stand up. I watched, like, you know, Premium Blend on Comedy Central growing up, where there was a lot of female stand ups who I admire a lot. And so I tried it, and I found it really lonely. I found it really hard.
Yes.
I was also doing a lot of characters. And at the time, you know, I think there are like phases that stand up goes through. And at the time, I would say, hey, I have a couple sound cues. Do you guys have tech? And they were like, what? They were like, tech. I was like, yeah, do you mind if I bring out a wig and a rattle? And they were like, all right, I don't think you belong here. And it didn't really work.
Seinfeld requested none of this.
No. And now it's so funny, because now I see stand up, and a lot of people have PowerPoints, and they have tons of tech and a lot of sound, you know. So it's different now. But when I was doing it, I for a minute, and I mean a minute, I was probably 4 or 5 months after graduating that I didn't do improv. And I did stand up, found it very hard. And then I went to the Upright Citizens Brigade and did improv and sketch, because I missed it.
You get to UCB and there you start to meet your people.
Yeah.
Not just... Lucia, Jen.
Lucia.
I'm changing
it's
it
like
to...
It's like cappuccino. You know, that's how you...
Lucia.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm Conando.
Oh, no. Did you just get hit with a chisel?
Conando, yes.
Conando from New Jersey. From
Conando. She's Lucia. Are a problem.
Yeah. Excuse me? I don't think they are. I think they show a great caring.
It's empathy.
These accents are... Thank you so much. Yes. And that's now recorded. and I can use that at the trial. Abby Jacobson.
Yes.
Leona Glazer. Yep. You start working with these hilarious people. This is where you start to find... Oh, we're all like-minded.
Yes.
We're in a groove here.
Yes.
That's such a magical moment, isn't it?
It saved me, I think. You know, especially moving to New York, and I don't know, you move to New York, you have survival jobs, it's really hard. Living there is hard. And finding people that were like-minded, had a similar sense of humor, was huge for all of us, I feel like, you know, and it really, we found our people and started to make things, and the rest is kind of history.
It is the same thing. Not just in comedy, but I think for musicians, sculptors, it's across the board.
Yeah.
Because I so remember kind of finding some of my group in college and then getting out to LA and doing improv at the Groundlings and starting to find my people. And you start to think, hey, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
That was the first feeling I had is there were all those years where I just thought, well, something's wrong with me. And yes, there probably is. But then you find other people with the same
issues,
whatever it is, issues, malady.
Yeah.
And you're all having fun and you're meeting at a diner afterwards to talk down the show.
Yeah.
And it's few things will replace that joy.
Yes. I mean, I think about that a lot that, I mean, we still do it. I'm so lucky to still do it with my best friend and my wife. But us doing shows and going exactly to a diner and talking about the show or talking about something we'd watched or talking about a sketch we'd seen, you know, and it's weird. It is like a special language that people share, I think, when they have a similar sense of humor. And that's not just comedians. Of course, it's a deeper level in a way for people that try and do it professionally. But, you know, I feel like anybody that you have a similar sense of humor with and who can make you laugh, it's just such a unique and special thing.
Now, here's the interesting thing to me, or an area that's interesting, is that you have this world of making comedy, jokes, bits, sketches, inside references with your friends, and you're making content at UCB, you're putting stuff up, you're having fun. And then at some point, if you're very fortunate and also good at what you do, it turns into a business. And pressure is applied and expectations are applied. And there are budgets and there's a lot of people around looking at you and saying, hey, what's going on today? And I've always found it interesting that one of the challenges is to make sure you still keep the joy in it.
Yeah.
When that is applied. And when I think about Hacks, this is a big show.
Yeah.
I drive around LA and there are giant buildings that are just dedicated. They've been painted over the windows. People can't see out their windows anymore because Gene Smart's face has been painted over them.
It's blocking the view, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a children's hospital. These poor, sick kids.
They need light surgery. They're
operating in the dark.
There's no vitamin D.
Because a giant Einbinder and it's terrible. What's happening to children? Sorry again. It's a big show. Yeah. It's a big deal. And it's a smash hit. And so you've got to be adults.
Yeah.
And you've got to meet expectations. And you've got a big fan base. But you also have to keep that silly joy going.
Yeah.
Do you talk about that for a little bit?
Well, that is so funny. It's true. I mean, our first job was on Broad City. And at Comedy Central, it was a low budget show. You know, we didn't know if it would break through. We didn't know if people would watch. And it was almost kids in a candy store. You know, it was just us figuring out how to make TV because we had never done it.
And you're doing it. My favorite kind of comedy is when I can tell people are doing this for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And I think one of the things I loved about Broad City, and it's the same thing I would have said about classic SCTV or so many shows that I loved, is that I had the impression that they were doing this for themselves to make themselves laugh. And then I just happened to be stumbling upon it.
Yes.
And that was some of the beauty of it.
Yeah, totally. And you know that we kind of showcased that in a way in episode 4 of this season when Deborah just looks at one person and looks at Ava, because I remember doing solo shows at UCB, several, which is embarrassing to say. I did several solo shows. And sometimes no one would be laughing except Lucia.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, it's
I
good.
Must marry
it's
this good. One. Yeah. I was like,
yeah. Well,
and then
God.
I will call her Lucia. Her true name, Lucia. You're not fooling anyone. I've been to the DMV. I know how you spell your name.
But yeah, we try. I mean, that's, I think, the secret of this show's success is also that we continue to try and make each other laugh. I mean, that's what we do. When the three of us are writing together, oftentimes we all write the same scene.
Yeah.
Separately. And then switch and just highlight things we like. And then we combine them. So it's almost like a third draft.
Yep.
And all I'm trying to do is make these two women laugh. So it is for each other as much as it is for everybody. And that was very true on Broad City. And it's still true on Hacks. And Lucia, you know, always talks about following the fun. You have to follow the fun.
Yes.
And we try and do that on set. And it's so hard when there's time and budgets and actors and crew and 300 people making something to balance all of that and still have the freedom to figure something out or to follow the fun of something is a real challenge. But we are there for each other to remind each other to do it.
Yeah.
Which is not easy, but...
No, I wouldn't think it'd be easy, but I think you're also... You have such a funny cast of which you are a part, which is interesting. You wear so many hats on this show, but Megan Stalter is so funny.
And so funny.
You get me started on Gene Smart, who's just she is funny in so many different ways.
Yes.
And when I watch her perform, I think she's not hitting one note, she's not hitting five notes, she can hit every note in
That's
the register.
Right. Yep.
And I'm so in awe of her and happy for her that you guys created this, because she needed a role. She's always been funny.
Yeah.
But this role shows you that she's funny and she can break your heart.
Yeah, I know. She is so good. I think you're right. Like, we often talk about the music of jokes and the sound and the rhythm. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you have to adjust an actor and help them make the sound you want. She always knocks it out of the park and then gives us more. And we're right. like, oh my God, she hit a note we didn't even know. And it's so true that she also is so gifted as an actress that she plays those emotional beats in a way that we cry at Monitor a lot, which is crazy, you know, still.
Right.
Because she can break your heart. And she has been the funniest thing in so many things. I remember her on Frasier.
Yeah.
Being so funny. Yeah. Or in the Brady Bunch movie, I was like, the horny neighbor is the funniest part.
That's right.
You
know? That's true.
I love the horny neighbor. And it's so cool to have her show her range in the show.
Women have been just such a big part of your comedy experience. I mean, you look at not just Lucia, not just Jen.
Jesus.
I'm going to say
it.
Lucia!
Lucia. Oh my God.
I actually think you might be talking about a different person at this point.
who's I'm sure wonderful as well.
I'm talking about
Lucia Al Dente.
Oh, okay.
Terrific comedy writer who lives on the island of Sardinia.
Oh my God.
I'm never going to say her name again.
It's funny because you asked also for
Lucia.
Clarity. The first thing you
I
did.
I know, but I'm. Can I say something? Maybe there is something wrong with me. Or maybe she and I have beef, and this is my way of getting at her.
You know? It's subtle.
It's so passive aggressive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She cut me off on the 405 8 years ago.
And her license plate is Lucia, so he knew. She can
I
go
went,
by one
and
name.
I rolled down my window. I went, Lucia? Lucia from now on.
To
and
me.
She said, what?
You'll see.
I said, you'll see. Give this riff time to grow. Okay. Jen, Lucia, Megan, you've got two powerhouse female leads. It feels to me like this has always been your comfort zone, is being around all these funny women.
Yeah.
Broad City.
Yeah.
I was reading some article about you, and it said that you had a revelation when you saw Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Tell me what that was.
Well, so my dad is a comedy fan, and I remember watching Young Frankenstein as a kid and loving it. And of course, I loved Gene Wilder in it and wanted to be Gene Wilder. But I was really, my first, like my foray into doing comedy was to do Cloris Leachman's lines.
Yeah.
Ovaltine, you know, and to like, stay close to the candles, the stairs can be treacherous. Like, she was so funny in that movie.
Yes.
And Terry Garr is so funny in the movie, and Madeline Kahn is so funny in that movie. And so I always was like, well, I think the girls are funnier than the guys.
And I'll say this, who in the world is funnier than Gene Wilder? Gene Wilder, that is maybe, that is my favorite performance of his, and it's so beautifully honed, and we're talking about the women in the movie.
I know.
And I mean, he's one of the greats of all time, and he's giving the performance of a lifetime.
Yeah.
And not to take anything away from him, but I can understand that. That's a great movie for anyone to see.
Yeah.
And learn very quickly that women are the funniest people in the room.
Yeah, 100%. And it's true. I mean, Gene Wilder in that movie is so good because it's so grounded and yet so screwball and so crazy. He's just incredible in it. But I felt that way also. I was a Nick at Night kid, so I watched a lot of Nick at Night. And watching I Love Lucy or Mary Tyler Moore, it was oftentimes a female story that I liked. I also, you know, I was never a jock. I was never, you know what I mean? Yeah, I know. Can you believe it?
I was a jock. And then about a year ago.
What?
Yeah.
We'll talk about
you
it
stopped.
Later.
You hung up the bat. You retired the bat, yeah.
Most people assume I'm a real jock.
Yeah.
You were saying, I'm sorry, I interrupted you with my stupid.
No.
But you were saying that you were noticing early on in Nick at Night, you're watching all these women, and and a name you didn't mention, it was a thrilling moment for me. There's a moment where, this season, where Jean Smart goes to cardiologist just to get a checkup. And in the waiting room, she sees Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
We had a Carol Burnett on the podcast about a year ago. I've met Carol a bunch of times and I will never be jaded. I'm always walking on air afterwards.
Yeah.
And she is still so sharp and so funny. And she was great in that scene, playing herself.
Unbelievable. Unbelievably funny. Unbelievably sharp. Wanted to... had things to add, was like, you know, I can do a Carol Channing impression. There was so much that she did.
I can juggle.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was really amazing. And we shot that at Television City, steps away from her stage where she shot the Carol Burnett show, which we had, you know, asked permission to feature last season when we shot there, just to show it, because she's such an inspiration for us. And we needed somebody in this season that Deborah Vance could get sage wisdom from and look up to, and like, who better than Carol Burnett? And the fact that she responded to the show and wanted to do it. I mean, it was a goosebump moment for all of us. It was really crazy.
The show delves into late night this year, which was fascinating for me because there are things that you cite in the show that I've lived through. And so I'll get a little bit of PTSD from watching it, but it's also really funny and apt, you know, like getting notes, or this is what we heard about, you know, in the early days of my late night show, research and what are people saying and what do we need to try and adjust? And it was all stuff that just felt impossible.
Yeah.
I'm kind of reliving it a little bit through your show, but you guys are doing a very good job of hitting a bunch of the nerves, which means you're getting it right.
That's good. That's good. I mean, you know, obviously, like we talk about you and your shows a lot, and we did a lot this season making it, and we tried to get it right, you know. And,
oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
I, and just writing the show about making the show was so stressful and so hard. I'm like, I didn't do five shows a week and have to do monologue jokes.
Right.
And yet, I viscerally felt the pressure of that. It's crazy.
There's a great moment where Deborah Vance is trying out. She's meeting the new writers for the first time and they're going around the room. And there's one, people are throwing out funny ideas. And then there's one writer who's new, who just is like, yeah. And then he says something that's not that funny. And
then she farts.
Yeah.
And then she farts. Because she farts.
Which, by the way,
which is funny.
It's very funny.
It's funny. Sorry. That
would, I would say head writer.
Yeah.
Right away.
He's promoted.
Yeah.
The fart guy's promoted.
Yeah. Good fart guy back. But anyway, he does it twice, and you see Jean Smart notice it, and then Jean Smart writes on a piece of paper and slides it over to Hannah, and it says riff killer, which is such a great because. It's a little inside baseball, but we call it riffing, which is people are in a room, they're coming up with good ideas riffing, and then she just slides across riff killer because we've all been in a room where things are cooking, and then one person in the room is like, yeah, and then maybe it's George W. Bush. And everyone has to reset. No one wants to be a dick.
Yeah, exactly.
And we all go,
Eduardo's pointing to Blay.
Oh, Blay.
You know it's me.
Okay, but
you don't need to pretend. I'm right here. You don't need to just talk about like some people are riff killers.
He thought it was a compliment, so he got it tattooed. He got he got riff killer tattooed on his low back.
That's nice. That's nice.
Riff killer. But anyway, I love that moment. And then I have to bring this up, which is because I just watched it last night. There's a scene where this killed me. It's a very funny joke. And nonsensical, but Jean Smart, Deborah has stolen, is trying to steal a guest away who would have been on Kimmel, and Kimmel's confronting her and saying, look, you know, I get this guest, you don't get this guest. She's trying to get Kristen Bell on her show, and Jimmy Kimmel confronts her and says, you don't get Kristen Bell because she always does my show. She's been doing, I got sort of possession of having her as a guest after Conan died. And you know what I loved about it is that it said with no one questions it. It's just like since Conan died, you know, I get her after Conan died. And it's just like, that's understood. And I'm laughing because no one questions it.
But in that universe, you're dead and you can never be on that show except in flashbacks.
Oh no, don't say that. We definitely want you on the show. We do.
I think we've settled that score.
No,
I'm kidding. But it was so funny to me. It's such a funny, I always like jokes that upon examination, they make me laugh on a guttural level, but they also don't make sense.
It makes no sense.
And he says it the way we all know that Charles Lindbergh is dead. You know, it was so funny. It was such a great moment. Yeah.
I have
funny
to give
joke.
Him credit because, you know, that was a Jimmy Kimmel improv line.
Oh, listen. Wow.
So I did not write that line.
That's great.
Let me write that down.
Okay.
He will be repaid in a kind. I can't wait to mispronounce his name. Jamais Kimmel.
Lucia.
Have you met Jamais?
So you're very much alive in our universe.
Oh, well, thank
and
you.
And I do mean it. I want to say it here. We would love to have you on the show.
Oh, I would.
We would absolutely love it. Okay.
Then we can come up with a way that I was resuscitated.
Okay.
it's a joy to watch. And I think one of the things that's interesting to me is it's all about, like, a magician makes you believe in the illusion. Mm. And so I know it's a TV show, but you guys have me emotionally invested in what happens to Deborah Vance and does this late night show work? Mm. And I hope this late night show works out. Currently, things seem a little wobbly, but I'm emotionally invested in it, which means you're very good illusionists.
Well, thank you.
You know, you've created this world that I'm completely invested in.
Thank you. I mean, a lot of that credit goes to Gene and Hannah as well for making these characters so real. I feel that way too. I mean, I know we write the show, but they feel so real to all of us. And I think they do now to them as well. There are some scenes this season when I think both Gene and Hannah do some of their best work in the show. And we're like, God, that was good after. And they're like, I just said it because I feel, you know what I mean? Now yeah. It's like so in their bones. They feel these characters are so real.
I think something Hannah does really well, just as an observer, is that she clearly wants a maternal figure. She wants mm-hmm. a connection with this incredibly tough, Jean Smart character. She wants this so badly, but she also knows she has to be tough. And there's this great moment where, without giving anything away, but she gets a hug from Jean, and you see Hannah kind of melt a little bit because she's getting that connection that she really wants from not just her comedy hero, but also someone who she has a real connection with and cares about. Mm-hmm. And you see her soften a little bit, and then Jean Smart reveals that she's doing it just because there's a camera on them.
Yeah.
And that's why she's doing it. And she needs to make it look good for the camera. And you see the heartbreak. I mean, Hannah is killing it.
She
you know?
Is incredible.
Yeah.
She is incredible. And she does, like you're saying, so much sometimes with no dialogue. You know, she's so funny and she's such a good stand-up herself. But yeah, she's so incredibly good. And it's hard, I think, to be that good. I mean, obviously your scene partner does a lot of the lifting and helps you out, mm-hmm. but to do what she does with Jean is really incredible.
I don't know. I don't work with people that lift me up.
Oh.
it's hard when you have to lift everyone up. I know, it's hard.
Can
it's
I just
hard.
Say for a second, I feel like I'm an Olympic swimmer uh-huh. and I have two cinder blocks around my neck.
Oof. Oh. Okay, you are a jock.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you can do that.
We make you stronger.
You do? Oh, I see.
Yeah. We test you and make you stronger. You're welcome.
That's what you want. Yeah.
And we're actively trying to drown you.
It's called drag. Yeah. It's called drag when you have cinder blocks as a swimmer. I was a swimmer, even though I wasn't a jock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You need the drag every now and again.
You need a drag.
Mm-hmm. I do it. And I do need it. Your character, Jimmy, your relationship with Kayla, Megan Stalter, is, I will say this, I don't think I've seen that relationship on TV before. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I love that relationship.
It's a relationship.
That dynamic.
It's a dynamic that I have, and I'm flipping through my comedy nerd mind trying mm-hmm. to find the same thing. And I'm like, nope, I don't think it's there. I think that's a new thing you've cracked.
Thank you. I mean, you know,
she's over the top insane.
So insane. So insane.
And you are trying much more. I love that.
Yeah.
You are, and I have some experience with an insane assistant.
Oh my God.
But you know what I'm saying, Sona.
No, I don't know what you're saying. I'm nothing like her. I do, but I love how different. What the fuck are you looking at me like that?
I'm just looking. I'm just laughing.
We have hours of footage of you acting insane.
Oh, there's not enough footage of you being insane?
I'm the star. I'm expected to be insane.
At least Paul's character is like a normal person.
He's a normal boss. Yeah.
I
love how patient you are. Your character is, Jimmy is with Kayla. It's to an, and that some of the comedy is to an absurd degree. And it reminds me a little bit of one of the things that makes Groucho so funny is Margaret Dumont, because Margaret Dumont, he's in acting insane, and she's next to him going like, Groucho. And then, well, anyway, let's move forward, when anyone else would say, I'm getting the fuck away from this person. But what makes it work is you can't, the whole dynamic of yes and is you are sticking with Kayla, with Megan Stalter. You're going to stick with her, and she's going to have awful, awful ideas with great confidence.
Yes. Yeah, she's somebody who, well, Megan is so funny and so, so good in everything she does. But when we, this is one character we kind of ripped from real life. This is based on a couple of assistants that people that we've worked with have had and that we've experienced.
Right.
Sometimes who are nepo and have entitlement, but also a little bit of insecurity, like having this extreme confidence and yet nerves is a really funny dynamic. And that is a duality that Meg plays in some of her original characters. So we were like, she would be great for this. And we thought it was really funny to have somebody who is, in the beginning at least, both his assistant and his boss, kind of, because her dad owns the management firm that they work
for. And now, your initial problem is, how do I get rid of this assistant? And now you're partners in this season. I love that you just keep turning up the dial on... And what's also great is occasionally she has a good idea.
Yeah, that's the thing. I do think that's true in the entertainment business and in management. You have to sometimes think outside the box and be insane. And Jimmy is not insane. He's very by the book. He's very earnest. And sometimes those crazy ideas actually work. So weirdly, she is a better manager than she is assistant. She's terrible at being an assistant. But she has some out-of-the-box ideas that, especially this season, that really do work.
I want to ask you a little bit about the dynamic of your comedy partner is also your romantic partner. And that's something that fascinates me. My wife is super smart, really funny. We've never collaborated on anything. I've always thought, that's like a Bermuda Triangle that I have not gone into. And maybe we will someday, but how does that dynamic work? Or did it just, you always knew it was going to work?
Well, we were on an improv team together, and we started doing sketch videos before we were ever dating. And it was in making those things, because she's so smart and funny, that attracted us to each other. And we started dating kind of after we were already working together a bit. But she's the best audience. You know, she's the person that I want to make, that it feels the best to make her laugh. She has such a good laugh, and I love making her laugh. So, and it's been a real cheat for us to work together, not just because we have each other as an audience and as cheerleaders, but also, you know, in this business, you don't see your spouse if you're working as hard as we're working. So thank God we're on set together.
That's really nice.
You know, we get to be together. I think it's different for different people, but I mean, you know, your wife being smart and funny, you know what it's like to make that person laugh. And
yes.
You know what I mean? Like it's
if I can make my wife really hard, and also if she can really laugh and she makes me really laugh, that's the glue.
Yeah, that's
the long-term glue.
That's right.
Have you ever wondered if Lucia said yes just because, accepted your proposal just because she was yes-anding you?
Oh my God.
Because of improv training.
Honestly, I had
until
now.
That's a fair question.
I had until now, but you know what? She is a very good improviser.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What was she going to do? You put out a scene.
Say no.
Yeah.
You laid it out there.
Yeah.
Will you? And she has to say yes, and we'll have a child.
She's trained to not say no.
I'm saying that's the best. That's what I
mean. I married an improviser too, and this is making me really look back. Usual Suspects.
And guess what? It was during a sketch, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
And then you afterwards were crying and said, you said yes. You have to.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Well, had your first... Your only child. Is only child?
Only.
Your only child during the making of Hacks.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, funnily enough, we were not planning to get married. We were like, we just won't get married and, you know, we don't need to do that. And then there was a point in time when I was like, well, I want to get her a ring and I'll float it. Thinking that she'd be like, we've talked about this. We're not going to get married.
Yeah.
And she said yes. And because we had been together at that point for 15 years.
Yeah.
So we had been together for a really long time. But we weren't going to have children. And so we did end up getting married. We thought it'd be a nice way to celebrate our time together.
I'm telling
with
you,
our
it's
friends.
All improv, yes, Andy.
Yes, no kidding. Yeah. Well, the sperm and the egg
and
were like,
yes, right. They were doing their own scene.
An improv class with sperm and egg.
They were, yeah. It was their own scene, and they
they crushed
worked.
It. They
crushed it.
I love that idea. And scene. Sperm. You work at a gym. Egg. This is your first time at the gym. And go. You're pregnant.
Actually, no, it's crazy. We didn't find out. We had been traveling, and she had missed one of her periods. And basically, we found out when she was 2.5 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. So the next day, we saw a heartbeat. And that was 2 weeks before our wedding.
Oh my God.
So we got married, came home, started season two. We were shooting season two. Mm-hmm. And then he came early. Again, this is like, again, sperm and egg doing their own thing.
Yeah.
He came early on his own time, and it was while we were shooting. And so she did direct between contractions because she was directing that day.
Oh, I know,
which is mentally unwell. I mean, it's badass
it's
and
so cool.
It's
pretty badass, yeah.
But it's also...
She's earned the right to be called Lucia.
Now. Yeah. Oh, good. Wow. That's what
now
it takes.
She's been.
You know,
she's earned
now
it.
I'm sorry, Lucia. You're gone now. It's
Rest
Lucia now. Rest in peace. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
So it was a crazy year. It was a really, really crazy year.
What's cool, too, is that as you go on through your career, you have this document, the actual show.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, in a weird way, I don't think about this much, but I have it too, because I met my wife on a remote shoot. We went to an advertising agency, and people look it up online all the time.
Oh, wow.
And I'm there just doing the Conan thing where I'm on a remote, being an ass. And then I just start talking to this one woman in the room. Within seconds, I'm not even trying to be funny. We're just talking about, my dad, right. And so, okay.
Wow.
And you like cats? That's funny. No, I had a cat when I was a kid, and my producer was listening on headphones outside the office where we were doing all this remote. He's like, "What the fuck is he doing?" So we have us meeting.
Wow, then, that's really cool.
Then we have the episode where I'm just back from the hospital because my daughter was born.
That's really cool.
And I'm
cool.
talking about it on the air. Then we have the episode where I'm just back from the hospital because my son was born. I mean, I haven't really thought about it that much till this moment now, but those are weird documents.
Yeah.
I remember bringing my son when he was little I brought my daughter to work right after she was born. Not right after, but, you know,
and
the doctor said, yeah, she was still, umbilical cord was stretched over 9th Avenue. Cabs were hitting it. It plays a low E note. But anyway, I brought my daughter in when she was old enough to come into and was sitting at the, I saw Tina Fey recently, and we reminisced about this because I said, Tina, I will never forget. Tina was up in 8H mm-hmm. rehearsing Saturday Night Live, and I'm down on 6 on the late night set, and I'm sitting and I'm holding my daughter, and one of the cameramen zoomed in on my daughter. Suddenly, double doors fly open, and Tina comes running in, and she was like, "Give me that baby." This is before she had her own daughter, but she was like, you could see that she had baby fever. And she was like, "Give me that! Oh my God!" And I almost didn't get Nev back. And then it wasn't long afterwards that she had her own daughter. But it was. I have all these memories that are my show work is intertwined with, you know, my meeting my wife, falling in love, getting married, children. It all becomes a piece.
Yes.
And that's going to be part of all the work that you do going forward, even after Hex, it'll all be entwined.
Yeah, I know. We think about that a lot. We actually, you know, we talk about the show like our first child in a way, mm-hmm. because it is like raising a child in a way. And then he came and now has a sibling, you know, and he visits set sometimes.
Yeah.
And
that's like,
and there's so much, now we have a lot of...
And they fight.
And they do fight, yeah. Well, he just really wants to go to Crafty. That's all he cares about.
Yeah.
Really. But but now we have a lot of like footage of, because Gene is similar to Tina. Gene really wants Luca whenever he's on set. And they have a great relationship, and she threw my wife's baby shower. And so we have all these photos and videos of him on set with Gene and, you know, sitting at Deborah Vance's desk as like an infant. And it is really cool that we'll have that.
That's great.
Forever. Yeah.
That's, it's funny because after a while, I always think back to the I Love Lucy show where Lucy goes to the club to tell Ricky that she's pregnant. And it's just fascinating to me because that was a show business relationship
yep.
in real life, but also they were doing a show about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you saw all the ways in which it was intertwined.
Yeah. And you know, we go by Pauly Lou, that's our moniker, which is a nod to Desi Lou. We don't have a show about our life, but we have a show that is our life. So
yeah. you play the bongos.
That's right. I wish Jimmy could pick up the bongos. That would actually be good. He starts smoking a lot of weed and does the bongos because Kayla just drives him off the deep end. That might be actually a good. We need something new for Jimmy.
I can help you with that. I'll be on set to pitch. I also want to give a personal shout out to an old fellow performer. Oh. One of the first things I ever did on stage was a show called Happy Happy Good Show. I did it with Robert Smigel and Bob Odenkirk in Chicago in 1988 during a writer's strike at it. And so we were at SNL and we went to Chicago and put up this very weird sketch show. And I met Rose Abdu.
Oh my gosh.
And Rose Abdu was hilarious and great. And I'm just so delighted that she's on the show.
She is so funny.
She's always note perfect.
She is perfect. And I tell you what, we've now, whether it's at South By or at screenings at the Pally Fest, we've shown now a bunch of episodes to a live audience. She kills.
Yeah.
She always knocks it out of the park. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, she comes on for one pop and always knocks it out of the park.
She is a trooper. Great. She's like a vaudevillian trooper.
Yep.
And, but I've looked at, not long ago, I found a program from Happy Happy Good Show. I think I'm 24. Five. Yeah. I'm 6'4". I think I'm 155 pounds.
Wow.
And there's a sketch from where I'm supposed to be. Yeah, exactly.
Damn.
Jock,
cinder blocks.
Jock or weather vane. You be the Detroit. You be the Detroit.
Pole vaulter.
Yeah.
No, the pole.
The actual pole.
Yeah.
And I think it's a sketch where it's a sketch where all of us are supposed to be naked, but I'm holding a guitar and you can see my body, and it's a freak show. Not that it isn't now, but oh my God. But Rose is in the picture, and all of us are just really hopeful, like, we'll get there somehow.
Aww.
It's just, that's it's really sweet. Cool. It's a really sweet memory for me.
Yeah, she's been doing it for a long time, and she is so good. I'm really glad that she's a part of the family. And she named the character. It was a different name. And she said, I'm going to base this on my aunt and my mom. And we said, okay, do you want to choose a name? And she said, Josefina. Is that great? She was like, I have it ready. Yeah.
Then she renamed your wife.
Yeah, exactly.
And you are Lucia. No, it's Lucia.
Luciana.
Luciana. Am I the only one who've noticed that you have the most amazing eyes?
Oh, come on.
And I've seen on TV, but in person... I think I've fallen in love with Paul throughout this interview.
Oh, my gosh.
Deep,
so
very
kind.
Deeply in love with you.
Well,
because I'm
right
just
back
looking
at you.
No, yes. No, I have creepy killer eyes.
No.
Look, Beatty, no. Looking around.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at that.
Don't do that.
Right?
If you do that, yeah. But you
like
do have really nice eyes.
You have beautiful eyes. Mansion where the eyes move.
Well, I think one of us has to call your wife. I am... very happy for you.
Thank you.
Massive congratulations. If you ever want me to play a parking lot attendant on your show.
We need you on the show.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Really...
Well, whatever. Whatever you guys want me to do.
Parking lot. You exist in that universe.
Yeah. No, I'm dead now.
No, you're not.
No, you've been demoted to parking lot attendant.
If you don't have a late night show, you're dead.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think that was his.
Yeah, yeah. It's all good. I'll do whatever you guys want me to do. It doesn't matter. And I have no ego about it. I'll do craft services on this show.
Oh, my God.
But I'm a big...
My son would love you.
Yeah, seriously.
Just give him some pirate's booty.
All chocolate pirate booty. Anything to help get an oar in the water, like this show needs any help. I think you've won. It's insane. I can't even get into how many Emmys you've won, Peabody, but all well-deserved. And
thank you.
Makes me happy, always does, when these youngsters out there, and you are youngsters, are doing really good, fantastic work and
thank
killing
you.
It. Makes me by association proud.
Well,
so,
I'm glad you feel that way because we admire you and your work so much. And you know, Jen, my co-creator, interned for you and has amazing stories about that. covered your assistant's desk and was very nervous and said that you were not only funny but kind. And
what?
Yeah.
Cuts on his mic.
Depends on who. She's a very good assistant, I think.
Yeah.
Oh,
just,
wow.
Yeah, she knows how to play
okay.
it. And, he was very kind. Suddenly, Bugatti shows up outside her door with a bow on it. Thanks for playing along, Conan. Yeah. Anyway, Hacks, it is season 4 now. Is it season four?
We're in season four, yeah.
Yeah, you're in season four, and I'm five shows through and loving it.
Thank you.
And keep doing what you're doing. Please.
Thank you.
I know you were thinking of stopping.
Yeah.
But my
retired last year.
I'm encouraging you
and
to
then
continue.
I said I'll keep going.
No, it was this podcast.
Yeah, actually.
You walked in your own like, I think we're gonna stop now.
Oh
too
my
much
god.
Success.
Well, now I can retire. You know? I mean, I always wanted to be on your show.
Oh.
And it was a dream. And so this is a dream. But you know, I saw you once, mm-hmm. and I said to my wife, I'm going to go up and introduce myself and just tell them that I'm a fan. Everyone likes to hear that they have fans. And she was like, so you can edit this out if you want. If you want to keep privacy and anonymity.
All right,
but
we'll
it was at the Hotel du Cap.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm at the Hotel du Cap. And I
was
like,
there on a junket. I got sent there.
But they love you there. You're on the wall.
Oh, really?
They have a signature of yours on the wall in the bar.
The Hotel du Cap is not a hotel that I would book myself.
Okay.
I was sent there because I'm not the kind of person. Look, I like a nice hotel. I like a nice hotel.
In France,
where is this hotel?
It's in Eden Rock in on the France.
Like near Cannes.
Okay,
yeah.
Near
Cannes.
I was wondering.
And I got sent there. They said, do you want to go and do this panel there and we'll fly you and your wife? And this is a legendary hotel.
It's insane.
And I get there and they're throwing some big shindig and I do my thing and I'll never forget seeing Bon Jovi.
Oh, Bon Jovi.
We'll get to you.
Okay.
Seeing Bon Jovi and Bon Jovi and I say, oh, hey man, what are you doing here? And he went, they flew me in just to sing, you know, like a cob on a steel horse. Going and did. And I said, you're just gonna singing one song. And he's like, that's it.
Wow.
And they're covering everything. And I thought, show business, I haven't experienced this a lot. This is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so did we encounter each other?
So no, because we weren't even staying in the main hotel. They have like a little annex that's less money. And so, because I wasn't flown, I paid for it. And but we were on a budget. So at dinner, I said to Lucia, I'm going to take all of the baguette in the basket. And I put baguettes in my pocket.
I love this.
And so we get back to the hotel. We had had some French wine. And I said, oh my God, there's Conan. I have to go say hello. And she said, babe, you have baguettes in your pocket. Your pockets are stuffed with baguettes. You're going to look like Jean Valjean. You look like you've stolen food. Just wait until maybe you meet him properly one day.
No!
I know, I should have.
No, he's got baguettes in his pocket still.
I know, well, honestly, I would. I love bread.
First of all, she was wrong.
Okay, she's Lucia again.
Yeah. Back to, demoted to Lucia. Lucia. No, are you kidding? I would have loved that.
I should have done it.
I would have loved that. And as I think you will attest, you would have said, oh, I don't want to bother Conan O'Brien. You would have come up to me. We would have started chatting. I would have asked you some questions. And then within 10 minutes, you'd be saying, I think I have to go. That is the usual experience.
I should have done it then. That would have been
huge. And I would have been like, oh, now I've got bread in my pockets too. Let's do a bit. Hey, let's meet tomorrow and I'll have bread in my pockets. Be like, I don't think so. Conan, this
what
is
it's
getting a neediness here.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Needy. That was very good. That was very good.
Very neat. Very good. Paul, thank you so much for making the time. Congrats on everything. And I'm real happy for you.
Thanks so much.
Every now and then we stumble upon a revelation that really rocks our world. And just the other day, we found out that Sona, you were a Girl Scout.
Yes, I was.
I just don't see it.
What do you mean?
Do you? It's kind of shocking.
Yeah, it is a little shocking.
You're a rule breaker.
Yeah.
You're a rebel, you know? You're the pinky Tuscadero, you know?
I still remember my pledge. I live by my pledge. And I think that
What's the pledge?
On my honor, I will try to serve God. I've already lost it.
Oh my God.
And
so
my
far
country
you're batting 1,000.
To help people at all times and to live by the Girl Scout law.
Okay.
And yeah, I do that. I always do that. So you're welcome.
Do you think that you upheld the Girl Scout code when you were my full time assistant?
I helped people at all times.
But what about me?
I helped people at all times and I lived by the Girl Scout law.
Okay.
So you know, I did my best with you.
You do very well in a Senate confirmation.
I know, it does sound like that.
The Senate votes unanimously that you are the new Secretary of the Interior.
I do not recall. Yeah. So that's reminiscent. Did I always help you? I do not recall.
How did you get into the Girl Scouts? Whose idea was it? Was this something that your parents came up with, or is it something you wanted to do?
I think my parents, I think they wanted to get us into American stuff. And so they signed me up as a Girl Scout when I was
that
really young. I was a Daisy. And then I became a Brownie. I was a Brownie. Then I became a Junior. And so
I don't know what the ranks are.
It starts off at Daisy.
I thought Brownie was the beginning.
Daisy's the baby, Brownie, and then Junior, and then it goes up, but I stopped after Junior.
And then it's Reichsführer. Very top.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's when you get a long leather coat and a riding crop.
It was fun, though. I had a lot of fun.
In a Mercedes. Okay. Well, we're joined by someone else on staff who we also...
Can I share a photo? And then it'll...
Yes, okay. That's very good. And Eduardo has a... Oh!
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Sona.
So serious.
I don't know why I'm holding the flowers like that.
Sona, you look kind of like nonplussed about it all.
It does look like you're curling the flowers.
It does.
This is incredible. Look at you.
Yeah.
And it's like your flower bearer at a funeral or something.
But also, look at what do those markings indicate? Are those different awards that you won?
Yeah, those are my badges. Okay, that's that's what it's all for.
Yeah, but what were the badges? Do you remember what your badges were for?
I have no idea. I think it was it was the 80s and
90s. No, it wasn't for flower holding.
It was like, oh, I made applesauce. Oh, look at me. I made a pie. Oh, look, I learned how to sew.
Yeah.
It's like that, and camping and stuff. Yeah.
I bet Sona was really good at selling cookies, though.
Oh,
I
feel like Oh my God, you just tapped into a thing. We would go in front of the Albertsons, and it was me and this troop leader's daughter, and we would battle it out to see who would sell more. And sometimes we were so aggressive, we scared away customers.
Oh my God. And you were just, and here's the thing, you were a little girl who scared away adults, and you were holding cookies.
Wearing a brownie uniform.
Look at that monster. Look at that monster.
Yeah.
Always
be closing.
It's an assassin.
Yeah. Yes, you were a David Mamet play. Desperate. These are the I want the Glengarry leads. I can't sell these Milanos.
I want the Samoa leads.
Yeah,
I want
the Samoa leads. These Milanos ain't selling.
Milanos are not Girl Scout cookies, and you should know that.
I don't know.
How dare you?
Oh, by the way, no one's bought more Girl Scout cookies than I have.
Okay.
Because we have some moms here that work here that have daughter, and all I do is buy Girl Scout cookies by the bucket load.
Okay. Yeah.
And I take none of them home. I don't eat them. So,
well, you should know Milanos are not Girl Scout cookies.
Okay.
Then.
Tell me what the cookies are.
There's Thin Mints. There's Samoas. There's the Tagalongs are really good. The shortbread.
Okay.
There's the lemon ones.
I mean, it sounds like, and what was your spiel when you were trying to sell?
Would you like to buy some Girl Scout cookies?
I bet your spiel was more like, you're going to buy some fucking cookies. Or you're going to have a flat tire when you're done buying grapes.
And you're going to have protection from here on out. You understand?
You understand?
Smoking a cigarette outside the Albertsons.
You just wore a tracksuit. Yeah. Tracksuit with badges on it.
Tracksuit, badges. You're smoking a bubblegum cigarette. Look here, see?
Why are you carrying tire iron, Girl Scout?
You like having knees? Must be nice. Look, you buy some tag-alongs and I won't be tagging along, if you know what I mean. Hey, I'm also going to sell you some Milanos. They're not street cred. These fell off a truck. Yeah, I don't think those are Girl Scout cookies. I said they fell off a truck.
Oh my
now,
God.
David, it is also revealed when you saw this picture of Sona, you said, wait a minute, I must add something to this.
I was a scout.
You were a scout.
Yeah. You were not only a scout, though. You
I'm
were
an eagle.
Eagle scout.
I'm an eagle
he
scout.
Went the distance.
That's
as high as you can go.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're lucky to have us.
Yeah, I know.
So wow, both my assistants have risen in the ranks of one of the most prestigious blah, blah, blah.
Oh, look at that picture.
Look at
That's so adorable.
I think that that's me holding a participation
no,
trophy.
No, you got a slot car. You did a slot car race.
That was my Pinewood Derby car that I like built.
Oh, look.
And
at
then I
David.
Lost. And that's my participation
he
trophy.
He got a participation
I think.
Trophy.
Wait,
I got
what does a participation trophy look like? I mean,
it's just smaller than the other trophies.
But is it a figure kind of shrugging?
It's like a car. Well, it's a little car.
Oh, it's a little car. So it's not even a car. It's just a blob.
That was a big day.
Yeah,
I can tell.
You've so, never been able to
you
live
put
up
in
to
so
that
much
day.
Work, and then you put your car up, and it's over in like a second.
David, you look no different. Sona looks like Sona has grown into an adult person. You look like. David, and look at this little boy.
I need to get the round glasses again.
Yeah. I know, you should.
Oh my God,
that is so
David,
cute, David.
That's a very cute photograph. Now, you, what kind of badges did you get? I mean, if you went that high,
I mean,
it sounds like Sona just had a couple of bullshit badges. No, seriously, like you didn't stick around that long.
You didn't have any badges. If we're in nature with the two of us. We could
start a fire.
We could do that, I think.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Could you start a fire, do you think, using just two sticks?
No, I could with a lighter.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's what they teach you in the scouts now? With this, you need to go into the woods and all you have is an acetylene torch.
No, Sona got her
and
fire
17
badge.
Pounds of beef.
Sona got her fire badge from just leaving a curling iron on.
So what about you, David?
I mean, we had to do like the camping one. The climbing one was awful because I had to rappel from like a 30-foot tower and I was terrified. But we didn't sell cookies. We sold Christmas trees.
Oh, that's
rough.
Nice. Yeah. Wow, that's
but,
big.
But wait, but did they come to a certain lot or did you have haul a tree around?
They would come to a lot and then the Boy Scouts, we would just sit there and sell to everyone in Carlinville.
And this is Carlinville, Illinois. Shout out to Carlinville.
Yeah.
And David has told me many stories about Carlinville.
You're basically a local at this point.
No, I know all about Carlinville. I have gone on the local websites.
Yeah.
You show me where you used to hang out, uh-huh. One of the two places where you could hang out in Carlinville. Hey, Carlinville, Conan O'Brien here. I would love to visit Carlinville someday.
Hey.
And I think I deserve a parade.
There'll be a parade.
No, David doesn't get a parade.
Do we both get to be on the float?
No.
No, he's a local boy made good.
Yeah. David drives the float.
I'll still wait.
Yeah. And our float will come in second.
What is our float going to be?
It's
going to
be
like?
The participation float.
I love that there's a float competition for Conan to visit.
Yeah. Because you're driving, we get the participation.
Sona wins somehow.
Yeah, I know.
I will say this. I trust you both with my life. And that is a, that speaks well of the Boy and Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
Because I think you're both exemplary people. I don't say that you have great skills.
Oh, okay.
And I wouldn't go turn to you if I was lost in the woods, but you're both very good people. They gave you a good moral code.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
So shout out to the Scouts.
We took the
oath. Hey, Scouts, get a Milano. There's no reason why you just can't start putting Milanos in there. And no, it's not a trademark name. And no, I haven't looked into it. Just do it. But anyway, Carlinville, we'll be seeing you soon.
We're going to be in the paper.
You just sexually harassed a city.
These pictures can be viewed at Team Coco Podcasts on Instagram.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, with Conan O'Brien, Sona Movsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Jeff Ross, and Nick Liao. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering and mixing by Eduardo Perez and Brendan Burns. Additional production support by Mars Melnick. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 669-587-2847 and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. You can also get 3 free months of SiriusXM when you sign up at SiriusXM.com/Conan. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.